This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
As mentioned, standing room only here at Trailer Wheel and Frame, the Canino exit on I-45 North, as you can stop in, and yet it is a party just waiting to happen. Tosh and Drew are working the promo booth, so they've got plenty of giveaways and candy and beverages, and guys are coming in left and right to make sure that they're getting the things that they need for their truck, their trailer,
old
tires.
Old dudes in ski hats are throwing their trash on the ground as they leave, just like it's a saloon.
Yeah, the thing is, when you walk into a fine establishment and you are not only greeted with happy, smiling faces,
that's
you're also greeted with free food and drink, the least you can do is clean up after yourself.
Yeah, and if you do get a sandwich over there, eat it pinky up because we're fancy here. That's all I'm asking.
I knew you were going to do that, Tosh.
What?
I did it, too. I just didn't actually voice it. Like, Tosh has this innate problem of being able to verbalize quickly what she should just be thinking.
Yeah, you'll never
you
make
said
it on
that,
radio.
And in her head, she was going, huh? But instead, she went, huh? As loud
what,
as she could in the store.
Up?
Yeah,
because we're fancy.
Fancy confuses her.
Fancy?
Yeah,
you don't
that's
know what
a
fancy
term.
Is, Tosh?
Well, her grandma does.
I confused you. Let's face it. That's not really that hard. Like, okay. This is a one-way conversation. This is terrible radio right now.
I take it that's root beer in front of you, too. So JJ is still here hanging around from Rudy's Barbecue, and he's gonna pass the torch, so to speak.
Well, what's her name? You're going to leave her out?
What's your name?
Do you know it?
I was getting to it because JJ not only passed the torch, but he said that she's going to keep our sandwiches warm, and you don't know, and had to ask on air. That's good radio. Sam is here taking over for JJ. And look, she doesn't even have a name on her shirt.
Yeah, I think you just made that up. Is your name really Sam? It's okay. Just blink. I know you don't want to embarrass him. Samantha.
But I know her like that because she's taking care of my sandwiches. Yeah. You're just looking to bring the wife. You're looking to bring the wife dinner.
You're such a baller.
Look, she's got her
care
name
of
on
my
a cup.
Sandwiches.
And on the cup, it just says Sam.
That's how you got it. You're like one of those fake-ass psychics that's like, you've lost a loved one. Oh, my God, how'd you know? Pretty much everyone has. You're like, her name is Sam. That's what you did. I know. You cheated. Yeah. Her name is Yeti. Nope. That's not it. That's not her name. Nice try.
So, like, I was waiting for you to look at my Starbucks cup. Only normally at Starbucks, I'm Tyrone, and you would have gotten that wrong. So there you go. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
That's good stuff. Hey, somebody had called earlier and asked they hung up, but they were asking about the upcoming Bellator 172 main event between Fedor and Matt Mitrione. Yeah, it was Tony in Pasadena. And
Tony, we're sorry we didn't get to you quick.
Yeah,
that's
man.
My bad.
It's really it's kind of hard to get calls when we're on the road. But my opinion on it, I mean, if you got nothing else to do, watch it. I'm not really. And Nick, you can give your two cents in, but I'm not really excited about this fight. You're talking about a guy in Fedor who has fought twice since his fight in 2012. 12. That's going on 5 years. He fought once in 2015 after a three-year layoff, and then again in 2016, and he hasn't fought since then. And the guys that he's fighting, he's been overseas. I mean, these are guys I've never heard of. The last guy I heard of was in 2012 when he fought Pedro Hizo. So, I mean, Fedor is a shell of his former self. I don't even know how old he is. He's like 70, I think. I don't know. He's 40. But, you know, Matt Mitrione, if he was still relevant, he would still be in the UFC. I'm not looking forward to the fight, but if I had to pick somebody, I would pick Mitrione just because he had three fights last year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not really excited for this fight at all. And Fedor at one point was considered one of the best, if not the best, heavyweight.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
But, you know, after he got that first loss, I think it was against either Fabricio in a really long time. It's just been downhill. He went into retirement, then came out, and like you said, he just hasn't been active. Mitrione has been active, you know, with guys who are fighting in the UFC. So I might watch it only because I like Mitrione's personality, but like you, I'm not very excited for the fight.
Yeah, and I mean, Fedor coming back now, similar to GSP, which I had another tweet, somebody asked about GSP coming back, and I'll get to that one in a second. But Fedor coming back kind of reminds me of, like, you know, those athletes that retire and then they wait too long to come back and then they still got that itch. And, I mean, Jordan's a bad example because Jordan still did okay. But this is one of those times where dude, if you're not fighting and you're not, and it's different than just training. Like, you, a heavy bag doesn't hit back. Mitts don't hit back. And even in sparring, it's not the same thing. And if you've had three fights in the last 4 or 5 years, even if you're Fedor, it's going to be bad. And I say that because Chris Barron was asking about GSP coming back. Do you think he's targeting Bisping or Connor or Woodley, assuming Woodley wins? And I don't think so. I think you're going to have to see 2 or 3 tune-up fights for GSP just because he's been away for so long.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like I said, I'm not really excited for the Mitrione fight, but just I think the only reason why they would put a fight like that together is that Fedor is just such, still kind of a name in the MMA world just because of his dominance prior to 2012. But
yeah.
It's kind of a gimmicky fight for sure.
I mean, think of it this way, because, I mean, when Jordan did come back, he came back and he played well. But think of Jordan coming back now. That's literally what this is like in the fight game, Fedor coming back
at
this point.
You know what's ridiculous is someone actually had the nerve to say Jordan could probably still compete in the dunk contest now. You're out of your mind.
No, yeah. That's like with that Bill Wara, every time they show Olajuwon on a Rockets broadcast, every time they show Olajuwon, he's like, I bet he can go out and get 15 and 10. Settle down, Bill. No,
I'll tell you this,
not.
Though. I asked
No,
him.
He could not.
I asked Dream 2 years ago. I said, Dream, Dwight was going back and forth with him, and I said, could you go out right now and get 5 and 5? And he's like, oh, are you kidding me? I could do 10 and 5. And I said, Dwight said you could get 3 and 2. He was not happy.
I bet not. I
he
bet
was like,
not.
Did he say that?
By the way, I also want to start an official petition to make Bill Worrell stop using names of cities for deep threes. Like, it's just
Sugarland.
It's so tired. They do it every broadcast, literally every three that the Rockets shoot. That's not right at the line. Oh, he shot that one from Sugar Land. It's like, dude, just stop. We get it. We are almost 60 games in. It's over. Let it go. All right, I'm going to start that petition. Will you sign it? Will you be my first signature after me? Oh,
no,
yeah, you
I
can't.
Won't.
You can't sign
no,
it.
I know Bill very well. And
do you?
Yeah, but I'm just.
I'm sure he's.
The one
I've,
that I
I've
give
always
him credit
loved
for,
Bill Worrell.
The one I've given. Cold-blooded. The one I give him credit
Cold-blooded.
For. No, I give him credit for the fact that I give him crap for, I should say.
Okay.
Is like when Matt will say something or you're talking to him, and a lot of times this is off the air, but you'll just say, Bill, then you go, huh?
Oh, really?
It's just getting to the point where it's a, huh?
Still,
and then they put him up in like where we used to do the radio games. And that's the thing that I struggle for Bill with is the fact that he'll sit there, and if there's like two white guys in the lineup for the other team, he's just going to pick one and wait for Bull or Clyde to go, no, in that case, it was the other one. And they'll mention his name.
Not like getting old, man.
Yeah, it's tough. He should be calling it off a monitor because that's a tough angle
and
tough to see from up that high.
Yeah, that does
to get those calls. And at least he's got the support of Clyde, which is all that matters.
Clyde dropping that Jesus Christ was pretty spectacular on the broadcast.
You just did
the other
it
day.
Again, too.
Huh?
You just did it again,
well,
too.
Well, I mean, I'm not broadcasting a Rockets game. Look, everyone knows I don't have any class. I'm going to say it. It's whatever.
well, then there's that. Everybody knows that. All-Star Weekend, you fired up?
About as much as I am for the Fedor fight.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I mean, I'm not either.
I don't care. Like, I literally, there's nothing I want to watch. If you look at how lopsided the teams are, just the West versus the East.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the conferences themselves.
Dude, like, yeah, it's not even, I'm not even remotely interested. I'll watch just for any train wreck factor that I can come in on Monday and make fun of. But that's it. Like, I'm not looking forward to any. I'm not looking forward to the dunk contest, but I'll watch it. I'm not looking forward to three-point contest, the skills, none of that.
Here's what I'll say.
Okay.
The three-point contest, they try and get the top shooters.
Yes.
I don't think they did a great job of it, but they at least have good enough shooters that it'll make it interesting. The dunk contest to me is like, if you're not like a legitimate high-flying, big-time dunker that actually plays good minutes in the NBA.
Right.
Why are you in the dunk contest?
Right.
You know?
I long for the days of Dominique
and MJ
Spud and, Webb and MJ and even Vince Carter.
Oh, when Half Man, Half Amazing was in his prime, and he did that with McGrady's help, and all those dunks were just ridiculous.
Wasn't he the one that dunked and put his arm through the rim and
from
hung
the
on it?
Yeah, from the elbow. All the way in the elbow in.
Like, we just don't, you don't get that anymore. A couple years ago, there was a couple of good dunks, but it's so few and far between that,
like, I will say this, and people were critical.
They should do it with the fans. Like, give them a trampoline. Do that.
Well, then it's a halftime act.
Well, okay. Well, that would be more interesting just watching a bunch of fat dudes eat
it.
That would be
the
way
other
better.
Night, by the way,
huh?
For one thing that's impressive, Adetokounmpo, the Greek freak the other night, uh-huh. took off from just inside
the
free throw line.
I saw that.
And people were critical. It's like, you try it.
Because
it's not like you're doing it in a dunk contest. You're doing it in a game.
Yeah.
That shows you how long that guy is. That was pretty crazy.
I think they should get guys like Richard Stites from Twitter and let him try to dunk. Give him a trampoline.
You've got Air Jordan and you've got Floor Richard. You'd have a hard time putting a piece of paper under the sole of his shoe if he tried to get airborne. Let's be clear about that. All right, we got plenty more show to go. We're almost to the midway point, but we want you to be a part of it. Nick's going to fill us in. If we got calls, we want to make sure we get you in here. We've got a lot of tweets. Nick, you are going to have a lot to choose from, or we'll choose it for you in terms of your legal name when you become a lawyer and we cut commercials for you. So you can chime in on Twitter and let us know, what would Nick's name be if he was a lawyer in Houston, Texas? I said the Texas Plunger. And all of you have been chiming in. We've gotten a lot of good tweets. So keep those coming. Give us a call. Hit us up on a text, 713-780-ESPN, or stop by and visit us. We're at Trailer Wheel and Frame right here on the Canino exit of I-45 North. We'll be here till 4 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and a cast of thousands at Trailer Wheel and Frame and the Canino exit at I-45 North. Come out and see us. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock. Great things for your truck, your trailer, and even tires. Lots of things. If there's something, a gadget or a resource that you need for your truck or trailer, you're going to find it here when you can't find it anywhere else. So we are going to be here. You can stop in and see us. Tasha's signing autographs right now and feeding her face. And Rudy's Barbecue is here if you want to get a hot sausage wrap. Drew is still trying to figure out how that feels. But he's at the same time very impressed by the sandwich selection. You can get some Rudy's Barbecue. You can get some beverages. You can hang out. And while you're here, see the entire showroom of everything you need for your truck and your trailer and everything in between. And then Nick, of course, is back trying to decipher who's calling him what in terms of what his lawyer name's going to be.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the text line today, so I'm trying to catch up.
Oops.
So
here's when the prize doesn't live up to the expectations when you accomplish something. The other night, and I think it was last night, there was a half-court shot at the Siena basketball game against Manhattan. And a fan named Aaron Tobin, was a female, was charged with trying to make a half-court shot.
Okay.
It was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. So there was a big steaming hot cup of coffee mascot, which is not attractive, jumping around while she's getting ready to shoot the shot. Lo and behold, she makes it. And she said, hey, I was just excited because my brother said he'd give me $50 if I even hit the rim because he gave me no chance at all. Now, the story goes on to say that the mascot then, they take the big costume off.
Right.
And her boyfriend gets down on one knee and
proposes. Oh, no.
Okay? So you get that.
Okay.
All right? And yeah, she said yes.
Oh.
Here's what I didn't like.
Screwed up now.
I said, so what does she get for knocking down a half-court shot? Because sometimes you've seen these on college campuses like this where you get tuition. Yeah, you get some major prizes. You know what she got?
What?
$500 gift card from Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, hell no.
That's a half-court shot.
That's not even worth the $50 that she was offered in cash.
Right. When I was growing up working for the Bucks in Milwaukee, every night at Bucks games, the half-court entertainment at the end of it was someone got a half-court shot to win a brand-new car.
Jeez, every night?
Every night.
Well, they weren't. It's not like, how many did they give away?
You could win a Chevy. Oh, they, you know, not money. But, of course, they did end up giving away, like, you know, three or four in a five-year span. But, I mean, at least people stuck around a little bit because they wanted to see that because it was like, dang, dude, I mean, you knocked that shot down.
Yeah.
You're driving some, you got some new wheels. Here, you get hopped up on coffee for about a year, but that's it. Come on.
That's not good. I mean, it needs to be in the thousands. And
exactly. I'm sitting here looking at it going, if you're Dunkin' Donuts right now, you should be so damn embarrassed that not only did you get extra pub because there was a proposal involved, but because she knocked down the shot and everybody's probably off thinking, that's it?
Yeah.
You might want to go, hey, you know what? We rethought it, and we're going to give you $500 in donuts. I don't know, but make it better than that.
Right?
Oh, I was disappointing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's pretty weak.
Yeah, I was not feeling
that. A couple things. Somebody texted in from the 215. I'm never working nearby when you guys do a remote. Thanks, Joel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another That's one still, that goes, boop, 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 boop.
Can I get Joel's farty chainsaw noise as a ringtone?
Sure. That for a price. Earlier.
That was from segment one, wasn't it?
For a price.
Yeah, for a price. Barry's new movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacred Myself. I like that. And then we have a name for Nick's law firm, the Texas Fluffer. That's not nice.
Oh, geez.
That's not a good one. And then pretty much the consensus is no one's beaten the Texas Plunger.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's just the Texas Plunger and the Texas Fluffer. That's the only two that's really
Yeah, no one's beating that. And then we did have someone say the Texas Commode, but I think the Texas Plunger is the leader in the clubhouse. So I'm just, but again, I'm catching up on text. My apologies if you're out there texting. I dropped the ball on that one.
Forbes magazine put out the top rated teams in terms of overall value in the NBA. Number one and two should be pretty easy to get, even though their teams suck, if you needed a hint. And then I can tell you where the local five ends up and how they break it down. Number one, the Knicks.
Yep.
Currently valued at $3.3 billion.
That's just insane.
Isn't it, though?
That's just ridiculous. I would cash out now, too. I would
That's
sell.
Up 10% with a sucky team.
That's not even right.
That's $376 million in revenue. And $141 million in operating income.
So if they sold it right now, would they get that?
So the operating income would be their TV deal, their revenues while running the business. And, of course, if they also run and control MSG and all the other events that get into MSG, they actually have a front office in which one sales group sells the Knicks and the other sales group sells all outside events other than the Knicks. So that's at $3.3 billion. Number two, the Lakers at $3 billion. Then the Warriors, still playing in a rickety arena. So that to me, I guess success breeds that more than anything else because their building sucks.
Yeah.
But they're only bringing in $74 million in operating income, but they're making $305 million a year in revenue. They're at 2.6. Bulls are fourth. Celtics fifth. Your Rockets eighth. I guess it's even better to state who's ninth. Which is the Dallas Mavericks.
That is good.
So once again, you are above the Mavericks, which is good, by about $20 mil. Rockets at one.
Say, wow.
At $20 mil. $1.65 mil for the Rockets. $1.45 for the Dallas Mavericks. Rockets up 10%. Mavs up 4%. Both teams seeing a value increase 8% overall. And the Rockets, $244 mil in revenue. Per year and $62 mil based on operating income.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
I wouldn't have guessed eight, but, you know, with a star like Harden, I guess that does make sense. They're still getting some carryover from Yao. Okay.
Last?
Yeah.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Mm. Well, I mean, they are the Pelicans. That's here's a stupid-ass name to begin with.
But you're right, and I would agree with that. The only thing that was worse when their one mascot was the cake baby.
What?
Yeah, and Craig Ackerman was scared to death of the cake baby.
The cake baby?
It was
baby?
The meanest, nastiest-looking thing in the world.
Like
it
King
was the
cake baby?
It was like the baby that double-dumped its diaper.
What a dumb.
And had that face on, like. Well, it was a creepy, scary looking mascot.
Like, really, how scared of a pelican should anyone be? Like, you know,
I agree.
Like the pelicans, that seems like
the king cake baby
creepy.
Mascot was creepy.
That is Tyler just showed me the king cake baby. That's very creepy. But who? Like, aren't your mascots supposed to be something that's like you're
warm and
scared
fuzzy?
Of, or like that I mean, what the hell does a pelicans? Where does that come from? Is there a lot of pelicans in New Orleans?
And this is
there
not.
Is?
Let me just say from my experience,
well,
this
no
is
wonder.
Not
no.
uncommon. Mm-hmm. The owner's wife had something to do with it. I won't get into my own personal details, but I will tell you that Tom Benson's wife was a fan of the Pelican.
Uh-huh.
And since they do have the Mississippi there in New Orleans,
okay.
And there was a tie-in to some degree, she had a say.
It should have just been like the New Orleans Boozers.
Yeah, for sure.
Or the Gamblers? Or
like, yeah. Oh, no. Now you're stealing from Houston.
Right, but no one's using it anymore.
Which is dumb because there was no gambling in
you
Houston.
You can't steal the Oilers because Bud took all the fun out of that. We talked about that. So the Pelicans are worth $750 million. The good news is that every NBA team was on the plus side in terms of from a year ago. They all at least made money.
Yeah.
The Pels made, the Grizzlies were up 1%.
Come on.
At $790 million. The Pels at $750 million, and between Memphis and New Orleans, Minnesota, Charlotte, Milwaukee. So that's the bottom of the barrel. And Memphis did not have any operating profits.
Wow.
They were flat.
By the way, someone texted in about the, you know, we were talking about the chick, Cash Mouth side.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. When she turns 18 doing porn, Dr. Drayson and the title would be Cash Me Inside.
That's
pretty damn good.
Now, if Drake could have come with that in the final round against Trey, he might have had a knockout.
That is pretty solid.
He could have brought a knockout punch that
day. Did you notice they were still going at it on Twitter and tagging you and me?
Yeah, and you kind of tried to put an end to it.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys are silly. You had your chance. It was all right. Don't tag me anymore. If you want to keep going, that's fine. But I don't want to be a part of that.
Hey, did I hear you were hanging out with Darrell Revis in Pittsburgh?
You did not, sir.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing then. Because even though there's conflicting stories, Revis Island might have law enforcement surrounding it with caution tape if things keep going the way they're going for the one-time best corner, self-proclaimed, of course, in NFL. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and a cast of thousands at Trailer Wheel and Frame at I-45 North and the Canino exit right here in H-Town. My man has found a lot of humor in that as he leaves.
Look at that truck. That's very fancy. That's a very fancy truck, sir.
That is nice, sir.
That is
You are at the right spot if you want to add a little bit more. Not that there hasn't been a lot added to that truck, but there is a good-looking truck with lots of extras on it that I guarantee you has been serviced by Trailer Wheel and Frame.
That's a lot of lights.
If you know what I mean. Yeah. It's a good-looking truck.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here. Jeff Fisher's brother just bought something or tried to, and he'll be back. We're having a lot of fun here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. And in the meantime, we're also trying to get to the people that have questions and concerns.
Yeah.
Lamont on Twitter brings up a question. Said, I was a C-level player in college. If I were a C-level player, I'm going to give Lamont credit. He was better than that.
Yeah.
If I were a C-level player in college, I'm taking courses for sports management, not some BS social sciences degree. Please address, always wondered, college players who know they're not going pros, why not major in sports agency? Now, I'm a sports management major. But,
are you?
Yeah, but I didn't do it for that reason. Though part of the curriculum...
Get it for the chicks.
No, part of the curriculum is, you know, you do have to take sports law. So, but the problem is that in order to obtain your degree and be legally certified to be an agent, it takes extra schooling, not just the schooling that you're getting from a university. And I also think that
you're not convincing me that you're a lawyer.
That's fine. That's Nick's job.
I'm definitely not
buying it. That's Nick's job. That's why he's the Texas plunger.
That's true.
The big thing, too, is, and I hate to say this, but it's true, most of the guys that are C-level players in their minds don't believe they're a C-level player. They just believe that they're not getting the chance that they need so that they can succeed. And you see too many guys that not only don't take that seriously or take Lamont's angle and say, look, if I can't play, I'm going to be a part of the sports world, which is what I did. It worked out great. But at the same time, you look at some of these people that say, no, you know what? I'm just getting the wrong opportunity. I know I can play. And then they don't even get the education that they were given when they were playing college sports. And I played with a lot of guys in college that were just convinced, even if they weren't playing and getting any time on our team, that if they just got to a different school or once they got out of school and they went to a tryout camp, that they were going to get discovered and it was going to be their career, and they didn't even get a degree. And I just think that's asinine.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. And I think to his point, you feel like if they're just doing, you know, social sciences or whatever degrees they're getting, they're wasting that opportunity because, I mean, even if you are a B or A-level player, it never hurts to have a fallback plan.
Oh, and the percentages are still minimal at best.
Yeah, because you know what? Most athletes are done by 40, and you've still got a long ways to go. Now, you know, not every athlete is going to make millions upon millions of dollars either, and I think that's a misconception that a lot of folks have, that just because you're a professional athlete, you're set for life. Not all of them.
No.
I mean, if given that, I don't even have a college degree, and if given the opportunity, I would love to have that chance to be able to do something worthwhile with it, to be able to have that to fall back on. And it is a shame some of these guys waste that. And I guarantee you could probably talk to a lot of those guys that look back on it and say, yeah, I blew it.
And I'll take it a step farther to what Lamont is saying. You're attached to a program. You know coaches. When you're in a college program, you not only know your coaches, but you get to know the coaches of the other sports at your school, and then you end up getting contacts throughout either your conference or your competition, or there are other, you know, close by teams where you can make contacts. You don't have to get a degree and then further your education to get certified to be an agent. Sports marketing people are killing it. When we were on Radio Row, there were friends of mine that decided to be a marketer for a player, and it's turned out. One of my good friends, they're making a movie about Jennifer Aniston is going to play her role. But a long time ago when I was in Portland, she decided, hey, there's another side to this than just the agency. There's plenty of deals to be done both locally and, if you're good enough, nationally for players that play professional sports to say, hey, I'm going to help facilitate their community efforts, get the local car deals and the people that support them in the local market. And then if they're good enough, the J.J. Watts, the Peyton Mannings, those guys, I'm going to facilitate the deals that get done for them to get endorsement deals.
Right.
She now represents over 350 athletes. She has a stable of people working for her, and she has, it's called the Entertainments and Athletes Group, based out of LA. She has so many different athletes, including some of the Texans, and it is such a lucrative business, and you don't have to get certified for that at all. You just have to have the trust of the players, and obviously the word of mouth that if someone does something right for you, you're going to say to the next guy, hey, if you're looking for some help on the business side and you want to get some extra dough in your pocket. We were talking about autographs the other day. I mean, these are the people that will pick up the phone and call the autograph companies and go, hey, I've got so-and-so and so-and-so. What are you going to pay them if they sit down for an hour or two and sign for you?
Yeah.
And if the price is right, boom, and the player loves you because they never had to lift a finger and because you decided to pick up the phone. So there's and again, stay connected to your coaches. You can be a coach. You see how many ex-players, especially in college football, like Major Applewhite, like guys like that, that end up being Jason Garrett's of the world. Maybe you weren't an A-League player, an A-level player, but you end up, because you're connected to the game, you end up with a job for life.
You're burying the lead, though, Joel.
What's the lead?
You said that there's a movie made about her and Jennifer Aniston.
They're making it right now.
Is she hot? Is she Jennifer Aniston level hot?
Denise was a former Miss Oregon. I'll leave it there.
Well, that doesn't tell me much.
That's all right. Wait for the movie.
Some of those states, some of those beauty pageant winners.
I knew her when.
And? Well,
she was a pretty girl in Portland.
Okay, all right. That's all I needed.
There you go.
Dude, that dude's lights just changed from yellow to green to blue.
To blue.
It's like Club Ford over there.
What's going on?
That's
I wonder
slick.
If based on what he's listening to in the car that they follow the beat.
You think he's listening to us?
No, I think he's got Bee Gees in there.
No chance. Probably.
You should be driving. Yeah.
Is that her? Tyler's pulled up a picture. Is that her?
No.
Oh, yeah.
That is not.
Good, because she's not hot.
Wow.
Somebody said, after the Chael Sonnen and Tito fight, I gave up on Bellator. And I don't blame you. That was a terrible fight. And they owe everyone a better fight after that. Someone said, can Fedor be considered the best ever, even though he never stepped foot in the UFC? I think so, because you got to remember, at Fedor at his best, was still knocking people out that were trying to get to the UFC, and he was still doing damage. And I think best ever, I don't know, because there's guys like, you know, named Anderson Silva that fought MMA. But I think he goes down as one of the top five of all time, no doubt. And a top five as far as a fan favorite. Nick, do you agree, disagree, don't care?
I still put Anderson Silva as the greatest only because of all the title defenses, and he did it before everybody else. He was ahead of his time. People really had to learn how to defeat a guy like Anderson Silva. And he really didn't lose until his late 30s. So he did get a late start, but he didn't really lose until, you know, his skills really started to diminish. So I kind of put him up there as the greatest.
All right. Yeah, that's and you know, it's again, it's all relative. It's like when you argue with people about, well, is it Wilt? Is it Jordan? Is it whoever? It's one of those things. It's going to be subjective. Somebody else said Nick Diaz Since Diaz has been out for a while, would we see a Diaz-GSP2 as both are making comebacks? I don't think so, because, again, I think GSP still needs tune-ups. I don't think they're not going to throw him in, even though Diaz has had a layoff as well. And then we got several texts last segment when I was asking about the Pelicans, and everyone was, you know, screaming at me over text that the Pelican is the state bird of Louisiana, which,
so
again, that's just...
It doesn't mean you got to choose them.
Yeah. Someone wants Nick's law firm to be called his nickname to be called the Texas Floater.
Jeez.
No matter how they try to flush you out, I'll keep treading water for you. That was from David.
That's actually not bad.
He's having a pretty good slogan. That's pretty good.
He put some thought into this.
Yeah, he did.
Friday must be an easy work day.
It's pretty damn good, David. Not too shabby, my man. And then someone said Houston's next team should be called the Houston 290 Commuters because that's scary.
That's toughness. If you can sit through that every day.
No doubt. The Houston traffics wouldn't be too bad. That
and
would
all
be
of us
accurate,
fight
right?
through a lot of traffic.
Yeah, the Houston
all three of us do. You got the easy way out today.
Yeah, I do. The Houston traffics would be pretty legit.
There you go. Not that it rolls off the tongue, but, hey,
you know,
not that that stopped many teams when you're the New Orleans Pelicans.
Right. Hey, I saw this article. It's the worst lyrics of all time. What would you say your worst lyric of all time was? Like, is there just a specific lyric that you hear in the song and you're like, that's just the dumbest thing ever? Do you have anything like
Nothing
that that bothers you?
Nothing comes
no?
to mind.
So this is the worst. This is the 10 worst lyrics of all time on the Telegraph. And tell me if you agree or disagree with these. I'll start with number 10. Only time will tell if we stand the test of time. Which was from Why Can't This Be Love from Van Halen. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
She had dumps like a truck. Thong song, Cisco.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was going to get to it. I knew the lyrics.
Pretty terrible. Lucky that my breasts are small and humble, so you don't confuse them with mountains. Whenever, wherever.
Was Shakira. That Shakira?
Yes!
Wow! Nick Sharara!
My man.
From way downtown, the plunger.
You got a Prada bag with a lot of stuff in it. Getting jiggy with it, Will Smith. Pretty terrible. Time is like a clock in my heart. Time, clock of the heart, Culture Club. That's pretty bad.
You still have that album, don't you?
I do. I actually was listening to it on the way to stop it. I love you like a fat kid loves cake. 21 questions, 50 Cent. I actually like that lyric there. That's pretty nice. He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious? Skater Boy, Avril Lavigne. That's number four. Number three is that your ass or your mama half reindeer? That doesn't even make any sense. That's from Shake Your Tail Feather, Nelly, P. Diddy, and Murphy Lee. Number two is, I don't want to see a ghost. It's a sight that I fear the most. I'd rather have a piece of toast. Watch the evening news. That's from Life by Desiree.
Okay.
I don't know. She was definitely high when she wrote that. Definitely. Okay. That is definitely pot lyrics right there, if I've ever heard it. She just throws in toast randomly. Like, you could tell she was hungry, but she was trying to be deep at the same time. And then the last one was, I'm serious as cancer when I say rhythm is a dancer. That's from Snap's Rhythm is a Dancer. So that's your 10 worst lyrics. Yeah?
Yeah, it would take some thought. But I know that in the past when I've been running and I've got a certain song on, you know.
Yeah.
Lisa's the queen of this. Like, Lisa, well, there'll be a great song, and she'll go, have you listened to the lyrics of that? Because if you listen to the lyrics of that, there's no
You know what they
I
really
hate.
Mean?
Yeah, and she gets into it. Yeah. And I'm like, half the time, even if I know the words, I'm not, you know, analyzing the lyrics. But then I start running, I start thinking about it, going, what the hell were they thinking when they came up with this?
You know who's got the worst lyrics of all time ever? All you got to do is pull up the lyrics to a Duran Duran song. Any Duran Duran song. You'll be like, what the were they thinking? What is this? None of it makes sense.
None of it at all. Notorious.
No, just go look. Pull any Duran Duran song. It's
well, that's
like,
that's a Duran
they
Duran
literally
song.
Just pulled different words from a thesaurus, rhymed, and just
her name
put,
was
a,
Rio,
put a lyric
and
to
she
it.
Dances in the sun.
Yeah, go look. I'm telling you, Duran Duran, very weird, very weird.
You want to dance?
Sad,
because Nick's going to the
sad.
Same playlist. You want to dance to this?
Very sad. Fake lyrics. What?
You want to dance to this?
Sure.
Normally, Nick goes to this song, and you get jiggy with it. There you go. Okay, Joel and Barry, and a cast of thousands here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. And guess what? We not only provide the sports and a little news, we'll give you the weather. It's raining again. Oh no.
Oh, those are lyrics, too. It's pouring outside, but that means you need to stay dry. Stop in and see us. I-45 North and the Canino exit. I guess someone's confiscated all the popcorn, so we'll have to make more. Tosh, that's on you. Other than that, we do have Rudy's Barbecue. Sam is here because her cup says so, and she'll be serving you if you want to come in. We have food, we have drink, we have fun, we have games, we have a whole lot more. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and a cast of thousands right here at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North and the Canino exit. It's raining outside, so come inside, especially if you have a truck or a trailer and you want to snazz it up, jazz it up, or you just need it because you absolutely get down and dirty with it and you need tools and resources to make the job easier. Everything can be found in this showroom at Trailer Wheel and Frame. From Ranch King trailers to all the bits and pieces that you need, from side view mirrors, rear view mirrors, and even tires, they have it here in your one-stop shop for
fancy
your truck or
lights.
Trailer.
Yeah, they got fancy lights that you can make change colors.
Bill Baez is here. He's walking in right now.
You're such a...
Wow. And you looked twice, didn't you? You thought, you were like, well, hey, wait a minute. Is he off today?
I don't have my glasses on, but you are killing it with this lookalike game
today.
You really are.
Oh, we used to do the doppelganger gang all the time on air.
By the way, Lamont tweeted and said that this is one of his favorite songs with the worst lyrics. It was LL Cool J's, and you nailed it. We didn't even listen to it. It's Jinglin' Baby.
Yep.
And he says something to the effect of, I see, or is she bloatitious?
Delicious.
And then skeevy, and then she delicious. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. Lauren Pope wants us to do best lyrics, which I don't know. I don't know. That might be kind of difficult. Someone said Little Flips, worst lyrics. I'll treat you like milk. I'll do nothing but spoil you.
That's jeez.
Pretty bad. That's pretty
really?
Cheesy. Yeah, that's pretty cheesy. And then someone said anything Nicki Minaj is ever saying is pretty damn stupid. But I'm telling you, Google Duran Duran lyrics. I think you have to be high to understand what they're talking about.
I hate Duran Duran, but
do you?
I'm familiar with some of the songs.
Yeah. I don't know. It was back when I was a kid, when they were really popular, Hungry Like the Wolf and all that. So I had a Duran Duran album.
Like the closest I'll get to Duran Duran is when Biggie samples Notorious for his own,
really?
Which is better, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
well, Tracy McGrady's here. He's walking in.
That's
Sweatshirt
good.
Says so.
Yeah?
Yeah. T-Mac's in the building. Everybody say hi to T-Mac on your way in. We're here till 4 o'clock. We've been talking about a lot of things. A lot of things, what we do try to do is stay away from stuff that everybody's already talked about.
Yeah.
One of the stories that won't go away is Revis Island. I mentioned it earlier. Darrell Revis, a little bit of trouble. From Pittsburgh, or from Pennsylvania, in the Pittsburgh region, hanging out in Pittsburgh the other day, said he had to come back and take care of some family business. Boy, did he. As the story goes, after 2 a.m., where nothing good happens,
yeah.
He's walking down the street, comes across... And it's, again, depending on who you talk to, but because he got charged with this, seemingly their story was better than his. Two kids, I'd say kids, 21, 22 years old, they ask if it's, is it you? And he says yes. And I'll tell you that story again someday, but that's always a funny one. That's another story with another person.
Is that you?
Yeah, it is me. Now give me all your money. So he says it's him, and the guy immediately starts filming a video. Mm-hmm. And evidently, Revis tries to get the phone, then he tries to smash the phone, then he tries to erase the pictures on the phone. But he claims he did nothing wrong. He got legal counsel that made a statement that said that the pending charges were false and Revis is a good, upstanding man. But at the end of the day, he's charged with robbery, terroristic threats, conspiracy, and aggravated assault.
By the way, the terroristic threats is a misdemeanor. That don't seem right. Shouldn't terroristic threats
felony,
be more
right?
than just a misdemeanor?
Yeah, could,
I would think
yeah.
so.
Depending on how big the threat is.
Yeah. Did you see what his lawyer was saying, though?
Yeah.
I was watching SportsCenter this morning when I was getting ready, and he was like, yeah, he thought it was a weapon. He thought the phone was a weapon, so he either grabbed it and threw it or swiped at it. Well, one, which was it?
By the way, two, the authorities were able to
recover the video from the kid's phone.
Really?
That's what you call incriminating. Because no matter what you said, that video ain't going to lie.
So do we know what was on it? Do we know?
Enough to charge him with everything that, because his story was he did nothing wrong. The kids were actually assaulting and bothering him. He fought back. That's how the phone got broken smashed.
Yeah.
And that's the story he was sticking to. And then the authorities were able to find the video on the phone.
Second note, I don't think anyone in the joint's going to be messing with Rivas if he's knocking fools out two at a time.
So that's the other thing.
Wow.
So the kids knew that they had experienced something when they woke up.
Yeah.
All they remember was taking the video of Rivas, then being punched in the face and knocked out cold, and they remember waking up when the authorities arrived.
Dude, that's bad.
That's not a good scene if you're Darrell Rivas. Uh-huh. Rivas Island might be sinking.
What was that one out in San Francisco?
It's Alcatraz.
Yeah, might be Alcatraz Island. Dude, that's not a good look, man. You can't go around punching kids.
But his lawyer states, Mr. Rivas was not arrested after the incident, and he sought medical attention, although no one knew what it was for.
Busted knuckles.
Yeah, busted knuckles.
Yeah.
And bleeding fingers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not going to get it
done.
Not
good enough, dude.
So Darrell Rivas in trouble. And by the way, could be a free agent. That would be a problem trying to get a new deal after that deal has already been done. But we have plenty more to go. We have two in the books, one more hour of show to go. If Sam hasn't been accosted enough by gentlemen trying to get free hot sausage, there's still going to be Rudy's Barbecue here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Tosh is stealing most of the candy, but we still have lots of goodies for you. Lots of food, beverages. Drew is already consuming some Tweaker. If you want a little extra step in your pre-weekend festivities, stop by and get a Tweaker. It's all fun and games at Trailer Wheel and Frame right here, I-45 North in the Canino exit. We're here till 4, and we are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.